So as I mentioned earlier, Advent, thinking about things like hope, peace, joy, and love. And I want to say a few words this afternoon about joy. And actually thinking about Anna's reading, which were words of Mary, who was the mother of Jesus, and spoken while she was with her cousin Elizabeth. Words that are traditionally known as the Magnificat. They're words of prophecy. They're words that magnify the Lord, and they're often called a song. They've been set to music countless times. But in fact, in Luke's account, it simply says that Mary said, this is what Mary said, or at least how it begins, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour." Mary was filled with joy. And the rest of her words explain to us why. Her joy was not of the shallow or passing sort. Her joy went beyond the natural joy, which often accompanies and usually does being expectant with a child. Her joy was rooted in God himself. And in fact, we can safely say that she experienced the same kind of spiritual joy that is offered to us in Christ today. We can find joy in many things. Perhaps, for example, the beauty of creation. Even though we are very aware that it bears the marks of human sin, we may find joy in success, being acutely aware that failure is never far away. We might find joy in possessions, like, for example, a new car, the latest gadget, even though we know that things wear out and they break down, and strangely, they don't satisfy in quite the way that we might hope or expect that they would. Joy in relationships, romance, family, having children, grandchildren, all bring joy, and yet we know often all too well that relationships can go wrong and can in fact be the source of much pain. Mary's song points us to a different kind of joy, a joy that endures, a joy that doesn't fade, a joy that is rooted in God himself, a joy that brings a lasting hope. Jesus is not named in the Magnificat. Of course, he had not yet been born. But Mary's prophecy, her words, really point to him, to Christ who came to save us. It was for this reason, the occasion of his birth, that Mary rejoiced in God, her Saviour. And we see for three specific reasons. First, because God sees. Second, because God is not remote, but he acts. And thirdly, because God keeps his promises. First of all, God sees. And Mary said, "For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed." Mary was an unknown girl from an unknown town called Nazareth, not a prestigious place. In fact, Nathanael once scoffed, Nazareth, can anything good come from there? Well, it's true that Mary and Joseph could trace their lineage back to royalty, to King David. But in their day, that heritage no longer carried any weight or privilege. They were poor, they were obscure, struggling to make ends meet, and by human standards, insignificant. And yet, God sees. He was mindful of Mary's circumstances, and he also saw her heart, the humble state of his maidservant. And the scripture reminds us that the Lord does not look on the things that people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. We find this same kind of idea in Mary's song. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but he has lifted up the humble. You see, the proud may seem secure, but God brings them low. The humble may seem overlooked, but God sees and raises them up. The scripture reminds us that God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And so Mary was able to rejoice, not in her circumstances, especially since they were about to get more complicated and challenging with the misunderstanding swirling around her pregnancy. But she rejoiced because God sees, God knows, and above all, God cares. And God sees us too. He knows our circumstances. He sees our struggles. Struggles, strangely enough, often felt more keenly at Christmas. He also sees our hearts. He sees the good and the bad. He sees our dreams and our longings. He sees our sin also and our pride. And yet, in his mercy, he loves us. And this is why he sent Jesus to die for us, for our sins, to take our sin, in order that we might know the joy of his salvation. But secondly, God acts. And this was the second reason that Mary rejoiced in God, her Saviour. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, he said. Holy is his name. God, if we believe the story, did an astonishing miracle for Mary. Though she was a virgin, she became the mother of the Messiah, an event that was unique, but quite consistent with the God who had acted throughout history and continues to act throughout history, and also works in our personal lives. Don't worry about the child, she's fine. Yeah. See, Mary's words, well, let's look at them in verse 51. His mercy extends to all those who fear him, from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. Mary's words echo God's mighty acts in the Old Testament, such as, for example, the Exodus, but many victories and mercy shown to his people. And all of those mighty acts that we read about in the Old Testament, those mighty saving acts, pointed forward to God's greatest act of salvation in sending his Son to save us through his death and resurrection. And so Mary calls him the Mighty One. Mary calls him the Mighty One, literally the One who is able, the Almighty. Capable, the Bible tells us, of doing anything. And yet when we think of his power, it's not something that's coercive. It's not harsh. It's gracious. And it is a saving power. Paul put it plainly when he said that the gospel is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. God meets us where we are. He breaks the chains of sin and he brings new life into our lives. This is the salvation that produces a joy that endures, like a lost child returning to their parent. When God acts to save, joy follows. And as Jesus said, a joy that no one can take away. But thirdly and finally, God keeps. Mary rejoiced in God her Saviour, who keeps his promises. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. God gave Abraham a promise that through his seed, a descendant, all nations would be blessed through him, as we heard in our first reading. And for Mary, this promise was now being fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Mary rejoiced in God's faithfulness, and her words point us directly to the gospel, the good news of salvation. The gospel is God's promise kept. He said he would come and he did. He said he would do a new thing and he did. Every promise of God is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And we today are invited to trust in those promises also, to trust in Jesus. Amazingly, the Bible tells us that Abraham rejoiced at the thought of Jesus' coming. He was glad. Mary rejoiced at the announcement of his birth. Even John the Baptist, we read very close to that in the Gospel of Luke, leapt for joy while he was still in his mother's womb at the presence of Christ. And Jesus promised to all his followers, I have told you all these things so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Not a joy that's automatic, but comes from knowing Christ as our Saviour, as Mary did. Therefore, we must turn from all those things that we know to be wrong in our hearts and put our faith and trust in him. As Peter said, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible joy. May God bless his word to us. Amen. We're going to pray together. Dear Lord, we just thank you this afternoon for the light of Christ in the Incarnation, for Emmanuel, for Christ with us. We live in a broken world where there's war, injustice, loneliness, fear, broken relationships. But we thank you, O Lord, that we can come to you. You, Lord, who lived a sinless life and gave your life for each one of us. We come to you, Lord, acknowledging our need of Christ's hope, his peace, his joy, and his healing. We pray, O Lord, for areas of the world where there is conflict, such as Ukraine, the Middle East, Sudan, O Lord. We do pray and ask you, Lord, that you might bring peace into these areas. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for organizations and missions like Leprosy Mission. We pray, Heavenly Father, you would bless them and help them to bring the hope and the peace, the love of Christ into these areas and restoring lives, Lord, through the medical help and the other means that they use, we pray. We pray, Heavenly Father, for creation, and Lord, help us to do our part in caring, Lord, for our part of creation, we ask you. We pray, O Heavenly Father, for those who are grieving, Lord, through loss. May you be with them, comfort them, Lord. We think recently of the terrible attack at the Bondi Beach. Lord, comfort those who mourn, we pray. We pray, Heavenly Father, for families and children over Christmas. Might we know your protection and peace and the joy of Christmas, we ask you, O Lord. We also pray, Heavenly Father, for those who are unwell. We ask you, Lord, for your healing touch. Think particularly of Jeff and Wendy and Jonathan, who would love to be here this afternoon. May you have your healing hand upon them, we pray. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you would help us, like Jesus, to be full of joy through the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.